Is going on, everybody? Welcome to the 200th episode of The Vaw Files. Thanks for sticking with us.
You're the host.
How many people do you think have listened to all 200 episodes?
I don't know. I would say a good, maybe like 1,000.
Two?
2,000?
Three people? That'd be a lot.
I'd say at least 1,000 people listen to the whole thing. From top to bottom.
That would be impressive.
That would be impressive.
I'd also be slightly concerned.
Why?
I don't know. Just kidding. No judgment for anyone who has. Thank you. No, it really means a lot. When we started this show, quite frankly, I didn't know what to expect. I do remember being excited about getting to our 10th episode. And because there's this thing in the podcast world where, as you guys know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. Everyone thinks they can start a podcast. Everyone has an idea of why they should start a podcast. And I felt this too. You get to like your third or fourth episode and you're just like, what do we talk about now? You know? And so it means a lot that we were able to get to 200. And obviously only because you guys are listening and are so passionate and dedicated to supporting the show. And just want to say thank you. Also, thank you, Chrissy, for helping produce the show.
You're welcome.
And by helping, I mean producing the show, I guess, along with me.
Yeah, we're partners.
Chrissy goes behind the... If you liked any of our guests that we've, say, had over the past several months, Chrissy is the reason why. And so much of that is thankless, I guess, because it's unseen, Chrissy does. So thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Including
that
these
was very nice.
Balloons.
I mean, you're welcome for these balloons.
We have a great episode for you. Someone that I was excited to have since I started the podcast. Justin Long is our guest.
Magic.
I know a lot of you have suggested Justin be on because you love the movie. He's just not that into you. And obviously so much of what we do on our Ask Nick kind of echoes that thought process. And just a heads up, it's a long episode. No pun intended for Justin Long being our guest. He is a diehard Bachelor fan. And quite frankly, we had to indulge his enthusiasm.
Like, seriously, he's like so pulled it apart. He knows everything. He knows the littlest, tiniest things about people's seasons. It was like...
And it's fun.
It was so good to watch.
So I hope that you take the time to listen to the whole thing because there's... Everything is a great little nugget.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. And I think Justin will be coming back for an Ask Nick episode to kind of play that role, if you will.
He's so fun.
And so look out for that. And depending on schedules, maybe I'm putting it out there. That's why I'm saying it now. He said he would do it.
Fingers
crossed. Well, this episode's long enough, so why don't we just get to Justin? Hey, thanks for sticking with us, guys.
I'm curious about how your persona on the show affected your life and like the way people interacted with you.
It's affected a lot.
I bet.
But I'm fortunate to have done it later in life.
Right. Having already like an idea of who you were. Yeah. Because that's the thing I find fascinating about the show is that a lot of these guys go on and they try to create, see them like poorly creating a persona. And I'm thinking specifically of... the silly goose, Chris, who I don't know.
The goose man?
The goose.
The silly goose. Yeah. Your producer's nodding. You know what I'm talking about. He, I don't know if you remember this, but when he was first on, he was quite like humorless and kind of a hostile, aggressive type guy.
He was. He wasn't well liked.
He was a little like Nicky Cat in Dazed and Confused. Remember the guy who's like,
yes,
remember?
He was. Right? He looked like
he
him.
Did.
He looks like him.
Yeah,
just a little. He takes himself a little too seriously.
A little simian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deep down, he probably means well, but he's just. Life has gotten him a little down, and he's just a little on edge.
Yes, he's on edge, a little serious, and he got a little shitty. Something came out in him on the show, and there was a moment of truth where he got defiant. I think maybe when he got kicked off or something, he was like, well, I don't like you either. You know, it was some sort of like, tried to stand his ground, and he ended up looking kind of. So then, cut to, he comes back for, this is one of my favorite moments.
Paradise.
And he's adopted this whole new persona, which is the silly goose. I'm just a, because he probably saw himself on the show, and he was like.
Yeah. He was George Costanza, like,
I'm going to do the opposite.
To get a nickname. You know?
Oh, right.
You know
right.
how George comes yes. in and he wants everyone to call him T-Bone?
T-Bone, right, right. Yo, you're more like a Coco.
Yeah.
You're more like a Coco. Yeah.
That was him. He's like, call me Goose.
But you can't pick your name, and you certainly can't pick your persona yeah. if you've already shown some true color. So he comes back, and now he's like, he's the fun-loving guy. And there's a great montage. I don't know if you remember this, where in order he's expressing his new silly gooseness, and he does like a cartwheel or tries to do a cartwheel and kind of messes it up. And instead of laughing at himself, he gets self-conscious and like he kind of like straightens his shirt.
That's when you saw the true Chris.
Yes, which I think is amazing when people are trying to play to me as an actor. I love it. They're trying to play something that they're not equipped to play. And it's like bad improv. And it's getting worse and worse as people go on the show with, you know, for quote unquote, not everyone's on the show for the wrong reasons.
Well, yeah, I've said this a few times. I'm very conscious of what I put on my body. True statement.
And that because skin
is your largest organ.
And I learned that from you.
Yeah. And each and every deodorant has been a game changer for me. I use it every day because obviously I want to smell nice. But I'm allergic to regular deodorant, and so as a result, I, for most of my life, had to use antiperspirant, which I come to find is really terrible for you. So now I use each and every all-natural deodorant, and I don't break out, I don't have any rashes, and I feel much better about what my body is absorbing, because each and every has no nasty, no hidden chemicals, no aluminum, no paraffins, no synthetic fragrances, or even baking soda that can irritate your skin. Nope, 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 nope. Each and every is vegan, cruelty-free, and they are using sustainable plant-based packaging. It's the first eco-conscious, carbon-negative material used in deodorant. So, if you are concerned about that, and you should be, you don't have to be allergic to deodorant to not want to put all those things I just listed into your body every day. So get each and every, because I want you guys to use each and every. We've arranged a very special limited-time offer for you, the listeners. 30% off your first purchase. Visit eachandevery.com/VIALL and use promo code VIALL. You'll get 30% off. So go now. That's promo code VIALL at eachandevery.com/VIALL. It's movement time. Hey, listen, if you like watches like I do, and you're looking for a high quality but not totally expensive watch, Movement Watches is the place to go. You know, I have some high-end watches that, you know, like, but there's a time and a place for that. But I look like I'm always dressed for success with Movement. And I can dress down with a more casual, stylish watch that I have on right now. I wear every day. And Movement has a really great stuff. Their watches feel like $400 or $500 watches for a fraction of the price. They're durable. Yeah, I can vouch for that. I mean, I've had this watch for a while now. They're stylish. They look great. You get compliments all the time. And they're designed in their in-house headquarters in LA, which I've been to, actually.
Yeah. And these holidays are coming, so these make great gifts. And it's affordable gifts. And they come in a really cool box. And it comes like...
The packaging, the whole unboxing experience is amazing. Really, so if you want to be a hero on Christmas without breaking the bank, get a Movement watch. They also have really great sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. And they have those blue light glasses.
You know, if you just want to frame that face of yours.
Hey.
And Movement's got you covered. So check out Movement's biggest sale of the year with fast free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/VIALL. That's mvmt.com/VIALL. How did you start watching?
Everyone I knew would, like, one by one would say, I'd hear about it. Of course, everyone knows about it. But I always felt like, this is sort of embarrassing to admit, but I felt a sense of like pride, I guess, that I never bought into it. And like, I kind of judge people who watched it, you know?
You almost hate watched it at first.
Well, at first I watched just because the girl I was dating somebody who was really into it. And I was like, okay. Now it's like, it's on.
Sure.
I'm going to sit there. And before the first commercial break, I was like, I remember the commercial came up and I was like, fuck, I want to keep watching it. I couldn't get over how good it was. I was so hooked right away. Ooh. And I think it was Sean Lowe's, right? Dez? Or no, Dez.
Sean was before Dez, I believe.
This is such a bachelor recap right now.
My memory's so bad. And part of... sometimes I'm like, I just remember names of bachelors more than I remember like things I should, you know, presidents and historical events that are important. But I remember Dez. I remember Dez really liking, this is when it got fascinating. She really liked that guy. I remember the like, more, he was from Utah. Handsome, tall.
Yeah.
Kind of like bohemian vibes. Like
Brooks.
Brooks. Brooks, who was, again, hot. Like hot, charming, but like seemed like he was just being himself kind of thing. She was so into him. And then he was like, to his credit, it was one of the most noble moments. He was like, I'm not feeling it. And he left and she freaked out. Understandably, because like that's probably the guy, you would know this better than anyone. That's the person that you like. How can you like more than one person that much?
You can't. You're well, right. I couldn't.
But some people maybe
and,
can.
And when I was the bachelor, Vanessa was that person for me.
Right.
And once I, early on, was like, I'm pretty sure this is the person I'm going to pick, I immediately felt like I was back on The Bachelorette because I was just afraid of like, if she leaves, I'm fucked.
Right. So you have to like really try to be the most. So do you find yourself playing it up more for her? Not playing it up, but like just like you would any natural somebody you liked. Let's say it's Addison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You would be a little more whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's a.
You can't.
You still feel, when you're the bachelor, you still feel in control.
Uh-huh.
There is such a power dynamic that is unnatural.
That's another thing that's
and
fascinating.
Not normal.
Right.
In any environment.
You already have status. You have, it's so much status that these contestants like you regardless in a way.
That's, yes. There, yes. Well, there's, that's the thought. And then there's a mind fuck of, at least for me, I'm a heady person and I'm constantly overanalyzing things.
Yeah.
Like, well, then is it real? Is it genuine? What if I like someone? Does she like me back?
Oh, I bet.
Et cetera, et cetera. But yes, you definitely feel in control until you don't.
Who was the race car driver? Ari.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. Yeah. Some of those dates were like, you know, it was tough. We, my brother and I had this thing where we were seeing how many episodes could go by without him attempting a joke. He didn't even attempt jokes. He didn't even try. And then a few
times, I
never
noticed that.
Oh my god,
it was pretty brutal.
Oh, but once you kind of tune into it, it was fast. It was like, and sometimes he would say things in sort of a playful way, and we were like, does that count as a joke? You know, it was really fascinating. And then that girl he ended up going back to,
yeah,
there were moments that, and I know Lauren. They edited a certain way, Lauren, yeah. It was just like crickets and like, oh, I felt so bad for both of them that they just sit in this silence of like, not even good silence. Like, but you were somebody who, there weren't those moments only because I think you were a better talker. You were smarter. You were good at being on dates. Were you good on dates like prior to this? Like, were you always like that? Were you, you're just like a better talker.
I'm long-winded.
Yeah.
You
have a podcast. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I've always been good at talking. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I do remember when I was, I've said this before, but I sold software right before I went on the show.
You've said that many times.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm saying.
No.
And for a company like Salesforce, I worked with a lot of smart people.
Yeah.
I was surrounded by people that I never felt that smart. I felt like I was fine. I knew enough to be dangerous. I fit in. I didn't feel stupid,
ooh,
but
you knew
I never
tech talk and, to be dangerous.
And I
should be a t-shirt.
When I went on Andy's season,
because she was smart.
She was.
Yeah.
But the cast of men, I've never been told how smart I was.
Right.
So many,
you're so valid.
Everyone's like, "You're so smart." And I was like, "What? I'm not, huh?" And then, like the producers were just be like, "Wow, we just love how you talk to Andy," and like, and I'm like, I'm just asking normal like follow-up questions, and
that's
and,
it's like the movie Idiocracy. Luke Wilson plays a guy who's just totally average, just like the average. He gets chosen for this program to be sent into the future because he's just the most average. I'm not saying you're the most average person, but then he ends up in the future where everyone's like devolved to being, I don't know if you've seen the movie where they're all,
I haven't seen that one.
They're just really dumb. Everyone's become so dumb. And Luke Wills, they think he's like a genius.
That's kind of how it was for me and Andy season. Now it's gotten a lot. Now with literally where you described that, that's how I felt. I was like, I'm not, no. Like,
that's
this,
funny. That's so funny.
But they've gotten smarter. I mean, Claire's has a bunch of Aaron aeronautical people and chess players and
they're still
anesthesiologists.
I know the chess guy. Every time. How many times have you mentioned?
Well,
chess?
The show dumbs it down. Like dumbs everyone down.
Oh,
because the format.
Right.
There's such a format.
They got to do activities and stuff. Yeah. Like they're at a kid's party. I always like the idea of you guys. I loved when it's just like you talking. Either if it's good, if it's like you can see the chemistry, or more entertainingly, if it's not.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when it's to
the
me.
The awkwardness.
It's, yes. Yeah. That to me is the like.
Did you ever? How did you when?
Like you with Sean, like your season when you went, you and Caitlin had a lot of chemistry, obviously. But Caitlin to me seemed like right away with Sean.
Yeah.
And obviously you don't know that you're in the house, but did you get that sense? Was there any sense of like, this guy's got it locked up?
Well, that was different because I showed up late. I don't know if you
remember. That's right.
And she called me the night before not knowing I was showing up and told me that there was one other guy she really liked, and she was just like being honest with me.
Oh,
and
so you kind of knew going in.
I knew that she liked him.
Now, what compelled you to do that, to go back on then?
I mean,
you liked her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that was the only that was the only time I actually went for the girl.
Right.
And you know, the first time I was like, oh, I'll travel.
Yeah, this, yeah, you know? Yeah. That makes sense.
And then that was actually a. As silly as it sounds, like an actual earnest attempt at like meeting someone I liked.
And you got to know each other on like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, we're talking on the phone and FaceTiming and
weird.
And then I was asked to meet her, and I was like, you know what, fuck it.
Oh my god! So then, was that somebody that you thought about revisiting, like after? I mean, years later. I mean, is that somebody you had a connection with? Do you ever think about? Because I wonder that, like going back and. You know, certain exes, I think, might be, why not?
Definitely not.
No. Okay.
Well, it's more like because because most of the time in that world, it elicits the max amount of emotions you would feel for any one person, right?
Mm.
But there's so much you don't learn about someone.
Of course.
And in most cases, like in the real world in dating, you can have an infatuation with someone, you can have a great Friday night with someone, but that doesn't mean you have like an actual compatibility.
Yeah, but this forces it.
This forces it. Yeah. So, you know, with Andy or with Caitlin or with Vanessa or any girl I really had met on that show, it was I maximize whatever chemistry I had
that
with
makes
them.
Sense. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I realized quickly there was no real sustainable opportunity
so
for a relationship.
Is that an answer to the question, like, does the show work anymore? Like,
sure,
can the show work?
Yeah, it can.
You think it can?
Sure. Well, because can dating apps work? You know, there's more failed attempts on a dating app than there is success.
I know, but like you said, like it's everything is so heightened in that atmosphere that to the point where it creates these false illusions.
Well,
I
will say that I feel, I don't know if you really know if you're in love with someone in that atmosphere to maybe like a year later.
Right.
There are so many. Variables that most relationships don't have to consider. There is the monetary, like you're worth more in a relationship.
God,
you know, and so when you break up, there's this like, you're like, I'm saying goodbye to
God.
Six
my
figures.
Neil Lane ring.
You know?
Oh my God, yeah, because you become like a professional couple.
Yeah,
like I noticed that with Dylan and that who's that
Hannah
adorable
G.
Hannah G. Super cute. But the two of them, both really cute. Like, yeah. Like, why wouldn't they be together? But they were both. Dylan really liked her, and Hannah was with somebody else. Right? Seemed to really like somebody else.
Yeah, and who knows how much that was from a show standpoint.
Right.
But
right.
And also, like, I think in that I don't know them all that well.
Or Jared.
Jared and Ashley. Well, they're very close friends of mine.
Okay, so Jared for so long was rebuking Ashley's advances. Is that the right word?
Yeah. And Nick actually told Ashley, this will never happen at one point. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
On the show.
Yeah.
And off the show. Yeah. I was like, just stop.
Stop.
One time we were at Din Tai Fung. Yeah, you should be there?
Yesterday. I love Din Tai Fung.
Can we go together?
Oh.
I go there 3 times a week.
What's your order?
I start with the cucumber salad.
Me too.
And then it's the rice cakes. And quite frankly, really, you don't.
Never had the rice cakes. Okay.
Really?
Well, don't judge me.
Wow. I should. They're maybe
daggers.
They're they compete with the Park Chang.
Shaolin Pao.
Yeah. And yeah. In terms of, I can't really say it, the soup dumplings.
You know, I'm proud to say at the one in Glendale, they called me Justin Long Bao because I went there all the time.
I'm there multiple times.
Yeah.
And then
well, do they have a nickname for you?
They don't. No. No, I still wait in line. And the shrimp and pork
spicy wontons. Amazing. Yes, always. Although, you know, I got to say, I went there yesterday, and they, I don't want to say anything negative. It's delicious. And, you know, it's a pandemic in there. Yeah, I'm glad outside. That they're, I'll tell you later. But it was delicious.
Yeah. It's not the same. And I went 8 months without eating it because it is not the same to go. You can't get it to go.
I didn't. I sat there outside. It was really nice. The one in the Westfield.
Century City.
Yeah. There is a this is soup dumplings we're talking about. I'm not telling you. I'm not mansplaining dumplings to you. I'm telling the audience, in case they don't know, they're dumplings called Xiaolong Baos, and they have soup inside of them. And there's a place in New York called Excellent Dumpling House. Shout out. And they are, I love Din Tai Fung, but they are so much better.
Really?
So good. Next time you're there, Joe's.
I've heard about Joe's.
Joe's is very good. There's another place in Chinatown, but this place, Excellent Dumpling House in Chelsea.
It's better.
And you wouldn't think. It looks like a kind of a generic hole in the wall.
That's fine.
So good. Yeah. But so Din Tai Fung, do you do the crab and the pork?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mm, God, delicious.
So I'm at Din Tai Fung with Ashley.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, what a derailment. Sorry.
No, please.
I'm so hungry.
I'm indulging you in The Bachelor.
Thank you. And the Whittier mushrooms and the...
Oh, I don't get those.
Oh, and the seaweed tofu salad.
Well,
delicious. Try that. Yeah.
Everything they do is great.
But you're from Connecticut. You got to fill up on all that stuff while you're here.
Exactly.
I was so I took Ashley there for lunch, and this was prior to us going on Paradise.
Ashley, I,
and and I still wasn't gonna go, and she was trying to convince me to go. And I'm like, "Are you gonna go?" She's like, "I think so." And I'm like, "Are you
on Paradise?" So now, why? What are your reservations about going
at the time?
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I was like, I'm done with the show. And I had moved to LA, right?
How many times had you been on up to that point?
Twice.
Okay, all right.
And you know, I had some very emotional experiences.
Yeah.
And I just felt exhausted from it.
So who did I see the other day? I saw a contestant who like hadn't been on nearly as many times as you. And I was like, holy shit, it's so-and-so.
Did you say hi?
No. No, who was it? It wasn't Hannah. Who's the other Hannah? Not Hannah G.
Hannah Brown, The Bachelorette?
Oh, maybe it was Hannah Brown. I forget. This is about how bad my memory is. No, I didn't say hi because I... No, it wasn't. You know who it was? It was the guy who's with Dean now. The lady who's with Dean.
Kaylin.
Yes. It lovely, was Kaylin. Lovely. Very pretty and... Now, it's Dean, you know all these
Dean's
people.
Dean's a friend.
Oh, I'm so starstruck. You know all these... Dean's like a friend? You know him?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Dean... With a mustache, and is he really living in his camper?
No, he's truly a nomad.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That was a transformation I didn't see coming.
You know, he's always that guy.
He was.
Yeah. He literally, that's kind of, that was his childhood.
Oh, he didn't express that on the show when he was first on.
Yeah.
I know he had the dad who was really like into Eastern.
That was really his childhood was very much
nomadic.
Nomadic, and so that I think he's very comfortable. That's where he feels most at home.
Well, he had tremendous father issues. I mean, that was very sad to see him.
His whole childhood is a bit...
Kind of untethered.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. Well, so I saw Kaylin, and I got starstruck. But I'm sorry, you were saying you were with Ashley. You went to Din Tai Fung with Ashley. So also hard to picture Ashley not crying.
Well... Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
She was just like, I'm gonna go, and I was just like, I'm friends with both of them, and I was as a friend. I've always been the friend who's just, I'm gonna just tell you how this is, and I'm like, can you just not go? Don't go back on if you're just gonna do what you did before. Like we've seen that.
Yeah, we know that Ashley,
and it's depressing. Yeah. If you want to go, why don't you try to meet someone else? There'll be more guys.
Did she know Jared was going to be on?
She knew Jared was going to go. And they were best friends. So
Yeah,
they were like, and that was kind of Jared's fault, like enabling.
He did that so many times.
Yeah. And I, at Din Tai
Fung. At a certain point, it's like, Jared, now you have to be with her.
But at Din Tai Fung, I was like, you're never going to be with, I know Jared, he doesn't want to date you. And she starts bawling at lunch.
Oh, that's
in the middle of Din Tai Fung.
No, and you want to enjoy the dumplings.
Well, then I felt like people were going to look at me because I'm making the girl cry.
Yes. Oh, no, it's Nick. I know.
I'm like, well, stop crying.
Yeah. Oh, he's as bad as I thought he was. Oh, it's also you don't want to babysit when you're enjoying those dumplings.
Yeah.
Damn those. You just want to have such a pleasurable place.
It's all about self-care. The holidays are here. We will be indulging, let's just say, on a lot of things, and that's okay.
It's okay.
But sometimes we have to get back to kind of our goal setting that we have, because small steps make big progress. And Noom is here to help us have great and healthy habits so we can meet whatever fitness and health goals that we have. Maybe it's losing weight. Maybe it's gaining weight. Maybe it's simply maintaining weight. Maybe it's not even about weight, but how you feel.
Yeah.
Noom has all these fantastic lessons and specific diet and eating habits and workouts. You can use it just a little bit each day. They have specific lessons. You learn about psychology and your habits.
The holidays are coming, so there's no food that's good, bad, or off limits, because Noom teaches you moderation.
Yeah, so they teach you moderation. So have that Christmas cookie.
Yeah.
But just know, you know, what's going on. And good and bad habits, you know, it's just good to be aware of. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is
power. They're teaching you the steps and the practices to help gain your fitness and health goals. Noom has one of the biggest and most accurate food databases available to let you track meal habits and visualize portion sizes and see calorie density at a glance. We are all strapped for time, so Noom asks you to just commit 10 minutes a day for yourself. You don't have to change it all in one day. No, no, no. Small steps make big progress, or shavings make a pile, as I say. Sign up today for your free trial at noom.com/VIALL. What do you have to lose? Visit noom.com/VIALL to start your trial today. That's noom.com/VIALL. I discovered Masterclass about this time last year because I didn't know what to get my brother-in-law for Christmas. And I saw a commercial on the old gram for Masterclass, and I was like, this is amazing. And then I was like, oh, I really want it. And then I got it, and then I got one for my brother-in-law, and he thinks I like him more than I do. Because he was like, there's no way you would give me something so good
if you didn't like me.
If you didn't love me. And I think he's fine. He's fine.
He's okay.
He's okay. But now it's just like, now imagine getting this for someone you really want.
You really want to like you.
Is special. Well, yeah. Masterclass is there. If you want to learn how to do dog training, make movies, films, photography, cooking.
Sing.
All the people they have are truly experts. RuPaul, Tony Hawk, Timberland, Penn and Teller, Chris Hadfield, Gordon Ramsay for cooking, Jane Goodall for art of conversation. I mean, truly icons in their field, and you can have access to them. I think you will love it. So will the people you give it for a gift. As a Viophile listener, you get an annual membership to Masterclass and give one to someone else for free. That's exactly what I did. I actually bought myself a gift, gave it. I didn't even pay for my brother-in-law, and now he thinks I'm obsessed with him. Get unlimited access to every Masterclass for you and a friend right now. Go to masterclass.com/VIALL. That's masterclass.com/VIALL.
Another thing I'm curious about, do they tell, because they sometimes, they keep certain people on the show that I know that they're like, they're good TV. They're either too aggressive or they're just weird, or who's the guy from Florida who wore high pants and a model? He said he was a model.
Tyler?
What is it? Not Tyler.
No, Jordan.
Jordan.
Oh.
Who was great. I thought Jordan was great because he's very on. He was just, you know, he said what was on. It was entertaining to watch
him. I'm impressed that I knew that.
Jordan. Yeah, me too. Jordan. Justin. Yeah, but I liked him. He was playful. He wore the gold underwear and stuff, and he did bits. But that kind of guy, like, I forget who the Bachelorette was at the time, but did they encourage them to keep certain people on the show?
They never make you send anyone home that you want to be in a relationship with or that you want to pursue romantically.
They never do.
That you get to keep whoever you want.
Yeah.
And that number is usually limited.
And are those people, do they ever, they never suggest, like, hey, this, why don't you keep so-and-so?
Well, again, it's more... If there's 30 people there, and you only care about keeping 5, then you don't care about the other 25 people. It's not about making you keep someone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, but love, the relationship is the most important.
Yeah.
So if you're like they've never. If you're like I like this person, I want to get to know them. They don't send them home.
Well, like to keep a Chad on, let's say. Like, why would somebody keep Chad on?
Because they're more entertaining than...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it always gets to a point where she's like, okay, but I don't like Chad.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we know.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But
there was never a time where Chad never had got to stay
because
and then forcing JoJo.
Okay.
She didn't have to send someone home. She was considering
picking. I see. I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That never happens.
Okay.
And when it gets to that point, that's when the Chads go home.
Okay. Okay, all right. All right. As entertaining as they are.
Yeah. So back to the...
yeah, actually, at Din Tai Fung.
No, that he just...
Yeah. Oh, he's just had it into you. So he's just had it into you. Well,
and
well,
we're back.
Well, and we're back. Ashley Jane.
Have we started rolling? we're... yeah, so during... Around the time that movie came out, I remember a lot of people would approach me. Probably people who... listen to the show. People who approach you, I imagine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like my audience for
Bachelor Nation,
our Ask Nick episodes, would come up to you and probably ask you for dating
advice.
Yeah,
they would. Yeah, really matter of fact. And Bachelor Nationals, Bachelor Citizens Bachelor of Nation. Citizens of Bachelor Nation, yeah.
And Citizens of Batch.
Yeah, and they would say, yeah, like, hey, I have this problem, or like, when I was doing those Apple commercials, the Mac PC, yeah. People would ask so me for computer advice, like, you know, technical advice.
I was listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
And you talked about that. I thought it was very...
That's so nice that you listen.
It's a great podcast.
It's really kind of you. Life is short if you're listening and are curious.
I was... you were talking about how... Well, A, you're bad at technology.
Terrible.
And you were doing these Apple commercials and they wouldn't give you... a device,
well,
or something to that.
Yeah.
Effect.
Well, in the beginning, I did them for 4 years. The first 2 years, they gave me a discount, a 15% discount,
which is such a slap in the face.
It's well, like, see, but I'll take any discount.
I mean, like you were the
face.
Other than Steve Jobs, you were
or the Sprint guy. Like
you weren't even like this. You were playing the actual system.
Yeah.
Were like, I'm a Mac.
Well, I think they were probably thinking, well, we're paying him. So, like, some of the money that we
couldn't throw you a phone.
I know. Well, you know, and they were, I have to say, my mom had, this is my sob story. My mom had cancer at the time, and I feel like I'm on a second episode of The Bachelor. She was
really good. This will get you to week four.
Oh, man. I can sense that we're not going anywhere. And so I have to tell you that my mom had cancer. So now you have to keep me on for how many shows would you have to keep me on for?
God, you love bringing it back. To
but if it were like let's say does it depend on how big the tragedy is?
Get out of it.
Like I was in my, you know, sometimes it's like twice removed. It's like, oh, your grandparents went through a thing. It doesn't mean, you know, oh, your grandfather's sick. Like
again, it just comes down to
your second uncle's not doing well.
How many people the lead likes? And as you just said earlier, you can't really like more than two or three.
My great aunt has pneumonia. Okay, well, how often do you see her? Two or three. That must be tough. Yeah.
But you got photographed not using an iPhone.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
But
that's
wait,
when they
like,
gave
me. How did your like, mom have cancer? Come with the apples.
Good point. They gave us a lot of free products for it. She did a cancer benefit and Apple at the time gave us a lot of products for that. So like, whatever. They don't need me saying good or bad things about their company. They're fine. But I do want to say that just because, like, the 15% discount sounds a little chintzy, but they gave us a lot of free stuff.
Cool.
But I also, I'm cheap. So when I use the discount, I go to the Apple store and I like their products. So I was always confronted with like, you know, how to bring up the discount. So I would say like,
At
the Trumbull Mall, let's say. And this is when they were playing those ads at the store. So all of the employees, the geniuses, they'd always look at me with a mix of, it was like a mix of annoyance and a slight bit of excitement. There was like excitement and like, oh, I'm so sick of that guy. But also, whoa, weird, that's the guy. Because they were playing those commercials on a loop at the store. And so I would go up to one of them and I had my stuff and I would say, you know, I kind of work for Apple. And oh yeah, we know. Like I know.
Did
you?
Yeah, I mean, do you still get reactions when you're in the Apple store?
Sometimes, not as much, but they would say, I know. And I'd say, you know, and I also have this, so I have like a discount. And they go, oh, okay, we'll give you the employee discount, which is 10%. So then it was like, the second hurdle was like, how do I bring up that it's 15%.
I was going to be like, enough. I would be like, oh, his discount probably like 40%. And then you have to be shamed.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
would be, if I worked at Apple, I would just be like, oh, well, just take whatever you want.
Well,
yeah, you must like, where's the
phone
key?
Case looks
well,
great
at the
for
time,
you.
At the time, I just thought like, they're such a popular company that they don't need to give away, you know. So I was talking to my friend, so this is name dropping, but Blake Lively was on Gossip Girl at the time, and it was a big show. And I told Blake like about my 15% discount. She was like, oh, that's weird. And I was like, why? She's like, oh, they just give me stuff all the time. They give me tons of stuff. Yeah, so they didn't give. So I would then say, oh, it's 15%. And they go, okay. Then I would get the reaction from someone who worked there, like,
he's lying.
No, just like, how cheap. Yeah. Like, you need the extra 5%.
They would give you kind of a,
I don't know, maybe I was projecting, but yeah, I'd always get a, like, it was never like, yes sir, you know. Yeah, there was no like deferential.
It was never easy to get that discount.
No. And then at a certain point, once they gave me the phone after I was photographed on a flip phone after the iPhone had come out, so they were like, we'd like to send him one and get him set up with it and all that. I think just because it was embarrassing for whatever at the time, it was like a thing. This is 10 years ago. Now who cares?
What's your favorite role or movie you've ever done? And then and do you have one that you actually hate?
I don't have any. I don't have a role I've done that I hate. I don't really have any. I've done some, even bad movies I've done, I don't really regret any of the experiences. There was a sequel they made to Waiting that I thought was.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they made a sequel.
It's a great movie. I watched it not too long ago.
Well, you know,
also Ryan Reynolds. I just can't. I'm obsessed with him.
You are.
I've had the best interactions of a celebrity in my life have always been with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, he's so nice. Yeah.
He's so nice.
Funny. Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, he was great. He was at the time we all would hang out so much. I mean, we were shooting in New Orleans and it was just such a fun experience, but Ryan was he was dating, I think, Alanis Morris at the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think she was more of a stay-at-home type person.
Yeah.
So I think they were, so he didn't come out as much, but whenever he came out, it was, yeah, he's such a fun
that
person.
Was like the Van Wilder kind of like Waiting.
Yeah,
whole,
it was mid-2000s.
Yeah. Waiting was great.
I don't know. But the sequel was, I did a day, it was just one of those things where when I saw it, I thought like it felt, whatever, there were whatever.
Forced.
Yeah, it just wasn't my favorite. And it hasn't aged all that well. But he's just not that into, people will be like, what's, because I give advice in that movie.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know if you strike me as somebody who's like this, like very good at giving advice and not.
Yeah,
really.
I have like a whole show.
Yeah, a whole show.
Yeah, yeah.
But 165.
But the rest of it is like that you're not great at following it. You know, that you're not.
Yeah, that's 100%.
I'm better at giving it.
Me too.
But also part of it too is it's easier. Anyone's better at giving advice because you see it clearer.
Yeah.
You're not invested.
The stakes
you're
are
not, you, you,
non-existent.
You're not blinded by your own bias or ego or bullshit.
Or chemicals.
Chemicals or the things that you want.
Yeah.
And you see it for what it is when you're not emotionally invested.
Don't like, you wish you could employ that kind of wisdom and that clarity when you're in a relationship?
I have gotten better as I've gotten older.
Yeah,
I've been able to, you know, what doesn't change is the visceral reaction or emotional reaction you have in any given situation for whatever it is you're feeling.
Yeah.
You're like, you respond to it. But as I've gotten older, you're just like, okay, I should probably look at this differently.
Be more.
I know what I'm doing. I've done this before. And in that end, I get better.
More kind of pragmatic, a little bit more. Yeah, it's the wisdom of, it's nice.
Have you, so that character you played, are you like that or were you, because you also seem like, or let, like for me, like my friends, that's who I was with my friends. Like with Ashley, I was like, I was the friend that when you're ready to hear the truth, I'll tell you.
Well,
and you seem like, listening to your podcast, like the really empathetic, sweet guy that you'd be like, I need to hear something nice and I'm going to go to Justin or you. Are you
nice
like
to say? Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm good at giving advice to people. I really enjoy it. I like, especially if it's a friend, you know, of course and I love going to friends for advice like that too. I've relied on that, I think, in my life.
Who's the person in your life that you would go to?
Oh, my brother, for sure. But yeah, I have a friend, Togo. Addison is a very good advice giver. Yeah, I mean, there's a few, not many. I don't have many really, really close friends, but a few.
With listening to your podcast, like, you've obviously been working as an actor and successful for so long. You've worked with so many people. Are you numb to it? Do you ever get starstruck? Has anyone ever been working with someone?
Well, clearly Bachelor people get starstruck on the street.
I'm starstruck now.
Real celebrities.
He's freaking out over
Nick. Yeah, because I know, again, like, I've seen so much of you, so it's very surreal to see you. Not to make
you
uncomfortable.
I mean, I feel the same about
you. Yeah, it's strange. I'm trying to think. Like, I just got to work with Greg Nicotero, who is, I was a huge horror fan, and he's a special effects guy that I like. Some of the things he worked on were, yeah, I mean, I was really starstruck to know that this guy's hands created, you know, the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park or Dawn of the Dead. He worked with George Romero. So things like that.
Like the geek out stuff.
Geek out. Michael J. Fox to me is
100%.
Back
to the Future.
I have family ties. About all of them. Poison Ivy.
That's our generation.
Yeah.
I died meeting him.
Well, I got to briefly work with him, but like, which was a thrill, and I was proud of myself for holding back and not like gushing like right away. I kind of like took my time, but he, I shouldn't say this publicly because now he's going to stop. He recently, I thought I was seeing things on Instagram. This is why I got to like get off or not be on Instagram so much, because I've invested too much in it. And he started following me, and I got, yeah, that was my reaction. Like a real,
well, I mean, that's amazing.
Oh, I started. I mean, I don't want him to know this, but I played it very cool. I wanted it right away to DM him, and my brother's wife, fiance, was like, "No, do not, you know, play it cool. Like, give it a couple days."
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Because
Ben Platt followed. I found
That'd be cool.
Ben Platt was follow. He's been following me forever.
Yeah.
What?
And I found out, jealous. And I DM'd him. Fan. I was just like,
"Oh yeah."
I just was like, I geeked out when I found out you followed me.
No, I bet he, no, I'm sure he appreciated
it. And I didn't play it cool.
Did he respond?
He did not.
Oh. Okay.
This was recent. I'm giving him time.
He just got over COVID. Recently, it was like in Hollywood Reporter yesterday.
Yeah, I'm telling myself it's that.
I don't really look at the DMs. Maybe he just doesn't look at those.
It said seen.
Oh. Oh, you can see
if
it's seen.
He follows
me. It was like a gut punch.
You don't follow me. If I DM'd you and said I'm such a big fan, I wouldn't know.
Do you follow me?
I do.
Oh, okay. Well, this is awkward. I'll follow you next time. Okay, hold on. As soon as we leave. Oh, that's funny. So you know that he saw it.
Yeah. No, but he had COVID, so I'm telling myself that's it. But now you're telling me about...
And
that you,
your,
the advice well, you got was not to geek out
I
over
just didn't wanna,
a Michael J. Fox, and I'm wondering if I just, you know, didn't play
I
didn't, it cool.
I'm
I usually good at
him
playing
off.
It cool.
I bet,
really,
yeah.
I really, you know, there were people I've dated that I never thought I would date, you know, that was hard. You know, I'm like, I can't believe I'm on a date with
so-and-so.
So cool. You know?
With somebody that you knew, like a famous person?
Yeah.
And is that like... different? Does it feel different? I mean, it must a little bit, just because you talk about knowing somebody. Like,
well, for I mean, like, yeah, it was. I had, you know, for most of my life, I was just a kid in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So there were a couple dates I had where I remembered 15 years before that
right.
being like this person's the hottest person in the world, and now I'm on a you're a normal person, and I have to be normal. The whole date was just about being
getting through.
Just be normal.
Yeah.
What is that like for you? Because you're used to just playing a character. And
I used to hate talking too much about my personal life.
Yeah, and you do a lot of that. And quite frankly, I some podcasts I listen to that I like, I try to take notes from And what you and your brother do a great job of. Your intros are fantastic.
Oh, that's so
you
nice.
You always tell this story.
Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, it's
kind of tie it in.
You tie it into whoever your guest is going to be. Yeah. Which I really appreciate.
Oh, thanks,
by
the Nick.
Way. But like you're telling a story. In fact, yeah. I just listened to all your intros. Uh-huh. I haven't listened to all your episodes.
Oh, that's so
but
nice.
But I've listened to, like, because you're always telling a story about yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think the thing that we're both very conscious to avoid is, stories that involve other people that might be hurt by it, you know, sure. or like might like ex-girlfriends. I don't like talking about it. Not because I don't like them as people. I just don't want to. I don't feel like they have. It's not really fair because totally. They don't have a say.
Do you tell the stories? Like for me, when I, mm-hmm. I talk about relationships, but
won't say names.
I won't say names. Right. I'll change periods of time.
Oh,
because it's just I don't want anyone to be able to figure out who that person was and how they affected it. And I
understand that there's an interest in that. Like even now, you're talking about people that you went on dates with that like you were famous. Of course, I'm sure everyone listening is like, oh, I wonder who he's talking about. And I do. It's like there's just something gossipy and
the blind item.
The blind item?
It's like a blind item thing.
Yeah.
You
oh, that's when they
is.
Don't say the person's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you very guarded talking about your dating life and personal life?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, again, it's not really fair, I think, to whoever it was that you... not that I have... or even talking about, like... God, some of my favorite stories about shooting, about working are, you know... when working with people who were like difficult or where it didn't go well. And, you know, those are the best. Those are my favorite stories. And I don't like, and I don't feel like it's fair to, even if the person was a dick or like kind of, you could make an argument that they deserve for that to be like out there. But I just don't think it's fair. Some people do. Some people talk about, you know, certain actors and.
Yeah. I side with you. Cause you never really know what they're going through the traffic thing. And your perception might be different.
Here's an example. And I do talk about it because I know this actor who's an incredible actor passed away. And I know a little bit of son. I just know that they know that I respect him. So I can say this, which is I did this movie called Tusk, which is a body mutilation movie, a really bizarre movie, which often people say like will come up to me with a big smile and be like, I hated that movie. You know, they'll say it really nicely. I hated it. Oh, my God, you were in that. Oh, I fucking hate it. But it's something we worked really hard on. It's always so weird to take. But the guy that I worked with in that was Michael Parks, an incredible actor. I was so excited to work with him. And for the first couple of days, he was kind of prickly with me. And I was getting nervous that we wouldn't be, because we had so much to do together. It was a really... intimate stuff. It was really just the two of us, and he plays this kind of mad scientist Vincent Price type character, and we did a scene where my character's waking up from being drugged and Michael's cut off my leg and I discover my leg is removed, and it's a really difficult, it was a scene that I was like, you know, not dreading, I was excited to do it, but I knew it would be difficult. And Michael, I was doing something in the scene, the way I was playing it, where he started laughing. And Kevin Smith was the director, and he kept encouraging me to get him to laugh more. And it was a great note. It was like, because there was something really sinister, something very real about the way Michael was, because he really was laughing, and something so sinister about it, because he was, I'm so vulnerable. He's kidnapped me. He's done all this stuff to me. And he's like giggling, and it's really great. But after we did that scene, we got in the van to go home, and he started talking to me for the first time. And he told me about his life, and he started telling me stories about that were, I mean, they were like second date bachelor stories that he would have gotten through to the top three if he had said these stories. Really tragic, like crazy shit that he went through. And immediately it put all of those other days prior to that in full view, in full, I had such clarity about them. You know, it put them into such perspective that this guy just was dealing with a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And to me, I was some young actor. He didn't know me. He didn't know. And he had also had a stroke 6 months earlier, which no one knew. And so he was struggling to remember lines. He had fallen and had this like major thing. So the fact that he was there at all was like incredible. And it was like his last, you know, I am so grateful for that experience. And And so I could tell a story. There's a version of that story, which is, oh, this guy was a dick to me the first couple of days. And like, he was really tough. And just end it there. I worked with a PA once, really nice girl who said at the end of the shoot, it was on a long shoot, like 5 months on this movie Herbie. And she said, Justin, you know, good luck with your career. I hope you never change. And I was like, oh, that's nice to say. She goes, yeah, I hope, because, you know, you're whatever, whatever. It sounds like a humble brag. But she was like, you just seem like an easy, but I hope you don't, if you become whatever, I hope you don't change. She goes, don't become like one of these Tom Hanks types. And I go, Tom Hanks? I thought.
He's a national treasure.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Well, what do you mean? I thought Tom, immediately I got like defensive of Tom Hanks. And I was like, wait a minute. And she said, I thought he was supposed to be so nice. She goes, oh, no, no, no. Let me tell you. And then you think, well, shit, she's an on-set PA.
I don't buy it.
Which, well, oftentimes, like, I did give her the benefit of the doubt because they see the real behavior.
Oh, no, I agree.
And like, maybe, I don't know what he's like. I've never met him. And I know his son. His son's very nice. I'm surprised. And I said, well, what did he do? And she said, well, I bumped it. I said, did you work with him? No. A friend and I were on the promenade in Santa Monica. We ran into him. And we were like, oh, my God, could we have an autograph or picture? And he kind of rolled his eyes a little bit and turned to his wife and said, like under his breath, but we heard him, I told you we shouldn't have come here. And I was like, oh, well, that does kind of suck. But, and that was all she was going to tell me. And I go, wow, that does suck. But I'm still trying to defend him because it's fucking Tom Hanks. And I was like,
I'm still Team Tom in this.
Me too. So at this point, I am too. So I said, well, you know, it's the promenades in Santa Monica. Maybe he was just getting bombarded. And like, maybe, and she goes, oh, no, he was, because then when we walked away, he like ran up to us and like tried to apologize and like took pictures and signed stuff. And I was like, hold on. Tom Hanks ran after you, felt so bad that he had this moment, ran after you and profusely apologized and did all the things you wanted him to do and apologized. And the story you're telling me is that...
I'm so mad right now.
I'm so mad.
Well, it was such a good example. It was such a like lesson. You know, like people like telling... People trash. Like trash.
Yeah.
The first restaurant I went to...
And because the story of Tom Hanks is so nice is a story that's been told over and over.
Exactly.
Every time.
And the Tom Hanks is actually a dick story that... Not true.
Yeah.
No one has it, but that was her nugget.
Yes. I think maybe this kind of stuff hits me a little bit harder because the first restaurant I went to during the pandemic, I mean, this is only about a month and a half ago. I was at home cooking the whole time. I mean, we get takeout and stuff, but like the first restaurant I went to, it was just weird being back and being in the world like that. It was outdoors and all that, but it was still strange. And my brother, he paid. I felt bad that he had to pay. And I remember thinking like, and he paid a little extra on the tip just because it's like, you know, these waiters are like having to do this during this time. And so when I left and the woman who waited on us was perfectly nice. Everybody, I just had such like easy, nice interactions with people. I was on Instagram and I saw somebody commented on something I posted. Oh, that guy is a douche. He tipped my friend $7 and the bill had been like, and we had tipped her $7. The bill had been like $22. So it was like
solid tip.
A solid tip on a $22
bill. Was
that
20%?
Yeah. It was like over. I just remember it being over
20%. 20% would have been $4.
Yeah. It was over. It was really nice and
like
over
40%.
Yeah. And I said, and I was like, oh my God. And that to me, cause I was a waiter and the idea of not tipping tipping is like just killed. It like triggers me in a way.
Especially like during even a pandemic.
Oh you know, my God. It was the worst. And people reading that and like, what would they, I mean, I'd rather have them say like he couldn't stop farting or like he was just like, he smelled whatever. He like his nipples were exposed. It's something weird. But this would like really kill me. So I wrote to her. I DM'd her and I was like, there's some misunderstanding because we pay, this is what happened. And she was like, oh, that's weird. My friend said that you only paid $7. And she said,
it wasn't even her.
No.
Oh,
it was a front. So this waitress said, "Oh, that guy from the thing," but she didn't want to tell because this is not a good story. The guy from fucking Herbie or whatever was like ate lunch, and I said, and it was perfectly fine. That's not a good story. It's like, who cares?
He tipped me $7.
Yeah, he
tipped. But he only got a Coke.
Yeah, yeah. He. But this is the story that he tipped me 7%. He tipped me $7 on a $100 bill. That's not even a good story. It's just a story.
Yeah.
You know. So to make this innocuous thing worth telling, it's better when it's bad. And that's the thing that's scary. That's the takeaway from the Tom Hanks thing, which is like, people will just...
That Tom Hanks thing's pissing
me off. I know.
Tom Hanks introduces himself when he meets you. He doesn't matter who it is. He will go up and he'll be like, "Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Tom."
Oh.
And I'm like... Of course, everyone knows who you are. But I love that he goes and he says to everybody, every PA, every people, like, it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to be the executive producer.
I don't know.
He says, "Hi, and my name is Tom Devereaux."
People listening appreciate that is because he's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And he's still doing this. And that's always been important for me when I meet people. "Hi, I'm Nick. Nice to meet you. What's your name?" Because I have met a lot of people since moving to LA who...
Assume you know.
Are no one. They're just like, "Hi."
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You're really?
No, I know. I always want my fantasy. My brother and I directed this movie right before the pandemic. And my fantasy was to have name tags because I hate when I don't. I'm not good at remembering names, but I always want to be able to say.
That's quite the fantasy.
Yeah, right? I know. I know. What a boring person. This is my ultimate fantasy.
Name tags.
Yeah. And so the. First AD was so, and the producers were like, because they had said, "Is there anything?" We had never directed a feature, and they're like, "Is there anything you guys want before we start?" And I was like, "You know, I've always wanted name tags forever." So they said, "So they're on it. We're on it. We're doing it." So sure enough, I showed up first day of shooting, and they were tags on a lanyard. It was like one, but one side was white, and one side had the name. And so for all week, the poor crew had to wear these lanyards because they were probably like, the director really wants name tags. But they were always flipped around for whatever reason. It was always white. So I'd always find myself trying to wait till it moved around. It ended up being such a pain in the ass.
That is more of an identifier that you don't know who they are. Because what you do is you go up to somebody and you start talking, and then there's that immediate... eye line that goes down, like they stop looking at you in the face and they go down, they look right at your name tag. It's an immediate identifier. They have no idea who you are.
But did you ever go on a coffee date with someone and then 3 weeks later meet them at a get together only for them to say hi and then you introduce yourself like
no.
That happened.
That's amazing.
No. Yeah. How
it's like you went on a full date.
Yeah.
Well, she must have been pissed. Not pissed, but
it was the worst possible scenario. It was after I had been on the show.
Oh, no.
It was a well-known, successful Hollywood writer hosting said show. And I was a guest of someone who, like, a friend of mine.
That might be how you know my friend Kim Hope. Kimberly Hope?
Do I know her?
Yeah. Did I not check the name tag?
What was the...
Kim goes to some viewing party that you, I think you were at.
Okay.
Said, yeah.
I've been to a few.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I get invited to this.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So I felt like this was a time I was just new to LA and I was on the dating app Raya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once I finally was like, I'm going to go on this dating app. I had like two friends in LA, my buddy who I was crashing at, and I didn't know anyone. So I was just like, I was going on 3 to 4 coffee dates a week.
Oh
just
my
being
God.
Like, let's just meet some people.
Good for you.
I was just trying to like get to know people. So I was meeting a lot of people and then I'm already bad. Like my facial recognition has gotten worse since going on the show because I'm more guarded and I'm not present as often as I should be. So this girl came up.
You're not present. You're not in the moment as much.
Yeah. And so.
Why do you think? You're skittish about who's looking at you?
Yeah. I've gotten better, but that was a big problem for me then. And then she's like, "Hi." And I'm like, "Hi, I'm Nick." She's like, "I know. We had coffee 3 weeks ago." And I'm the outsider. She was among friends. And I was just like, "I need to go.
No.
I should go."
Oh, no.
And it was
You can't. How do you recover from that?
I just try to be as charming as possible and answer all the bachelor questions they
Was she cool about it? Was she like, I mean, That's a
we never story. Talked again.
Oh. Oh.
I don't think she was.
Did you immediately remember her?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, yes. Yeah. 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 And I was.
How embarrassing.
It is. But like, but and then you can't see. I'm now going through yeah, the
we,
like.
We had a Earth Cafe in Beverly Hills. I know where we went. I still uh-huh. remember. Now I will never forget. But.
Oh, that's. You got to be careful. That place is a lot of paparazzi.
Yeah.
It's a paparazzi place.
Well, we went for lunch the other day. We walked across the street and somebody came out with a camera. Yeah. I was like, what's going on
yeah,
here?
It's a paparazzi place.
That, yeah. Well, not there. That was Jones.
That was
oh, Jones also. Yeah. Not good. But what are they doing now with everyone wearing masks?
Outdoor. There's some outdoor
stuff. But that is, oh, that's really interesting. That especially, and then you can't like, a cover can't be, oh, I was just going on so many dates. Because then you look like that.
No, because then you look douchey.
Yeah. Oh man,
I just said I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I think I'd try.
Oh man, and they're Bachelor fans, so already they probably have an idea of you.
Oh, and this was before. This was when I was
douchey,
possibly shady character.
Right, because you really redeemed yourself on. If there was that perception, I can see
he lights up.
He gets excited. His body language changes. He moves his smile. Like I love it.
I've indulged you talking about me, but now back.
I watched so much of this, but like you did, you on Bachelor in Paradise, because you were very honest about not being really drawn to anyone, and you, but you were so nice with everyone, and like
yeah, I mean, I definitely. Took one for the team on Andy's season because mm-hmm. they didn't really have a lot to work with. There were no bad Chads. There were no Luke Parkers.
Oh, Luke Parker. Scary, terrifying.
But star of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't.
Yes.
I mean, that's the. If I'm critiquing, I said this before, if I'm critiquing this season, it's lacking star power. Seems like a lot of nice guys, good guys, but a lot of forced drama because there's no real guy who's kind of sucks.
Well,
except for Chasen.
Chasen, which one was he? So I haven't have you
watched the most recent?
Tayshia's? No.
Okay, no.
It struck me that it was a lot more. Every year it gets more like this, but it was like it's like watching the Discovery Channel. There's something very primal about it. The way they try to win, I guess, and they all seem so competitive with one another. So it's like. It's just fascinating.
I think I'm still to this day the only person to get the Bachelorette flowers. Like I went on a date with my first date with Andy.
Yeah,
and I like it was a very sincere. Like I had a nice time.
Yeah,
shit, I like her. And in that moment, I was like, I gotta go for it. I gotta make this real. I gotta make this experience real. And so I went up to her producer. I'm like. Is it possible to get her flowers? Like, here's $60. Like, can you just—that's
what you have to do.
I just asked. Yeah. I was like, and maybe because I was in sales, like you learn very early. Like, you just ask for things, and then you find out what the answer is.
Uh huh.
And so I was like, I'll just ask, and they're like, what a great idea. And so they facilitated. Now they facilitated it by bringing in flowers while she was talking to some other guy and set some shit up.
Oh shit! Yeah.
But the other guys took it as, how did you do that? And I'm like. How did I do what?
Did they think that you were also trying to like undercut them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, of course, that puts you immediately on the defensive, which is never a good look, which is like must have made you self-conscious.
No, yeah.
To and know that you're being... That's what I also wonder. Like, do you have moments where you're like, oh, you lose yourself in it like that? Like you go to a producer. That's not being filmed.
No.
And then the cameras are on you and you're like, oh, boy, what is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, you're kind of like, you know, you see what's going on.
Weird.
Then you panic.
Did you get good at like kind of forgetting the cameras were there or
I remember forgetting.
Really?
We were in Santa Barbara on top of boulders and that's the first time we made out and I remember thinking how I didn't care. And I was like, I'm just not gonna care. And I just stopped like I just remember having a conscious thought that I did all that without thinking about the cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess I'll just get used to it.
You're in it. You're
yeah. I made a conscious choice to just go for it.
Yeah.
And try to be authentic and like again, I joke about saying it was like the worst thing, but the best thing. Like I really liked her.
Yeah.
And that got me in the trouble I got
in. It seemed like it.
Because I just was like, I'm just going to say and do whatever I want. Mm. And I'm not going to think about should I say it or should I do it. And that gave him a ton of content to work with.
Yeah. Because you're not then cognizant enough of the other guys who are also trying to.
Yeah. Because like, we probably don't remember, but like I
remember Josh.
I snuck out and went to go visit her in Brussels.
Yeah.
But that all came because early on I was like, okay, I like her. And you guys, there's this expectation of an engagement. I don't know how I could possibly do that at the end. So I need more time with her. Could you guys set something up? Can I sneak out or whatever? And they're like, yeah, we got you.
Oh my God.
You know? And then it turned in, at the time I was like, cool, I get more time with her. That's all I cared about.
Well, that is such a sensible request. That's such a like rational, you must've been, in fact, if anything, nervous that like you're facing this potential.
Well, at that time I was still kind of that point I realized I might be on the short end of the stick and I just didn't care.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I still like her. And that I was like, either way, I like her.
You sense that it was going to Josh?
I sense that I was going to be the villain.
Oh my God, really?
Because of all the guys were like, every time I got a rose, they were yelling at me.
And I'm trying to remember who the other guys were.
Like Chris and Brian and Chris Soles, the farmer.
Oh!
Yeah! That's my Chris Soles.
He had a high-pitched laugh.
Yeah.
And no upper lip. Yeah. I remember Chris Soles. Yeah, of course, the farmer. Yeah.
He's got a Chris Soles impression. Yeah. We found out something amazing about Chris Soles that really upset Nicholas over here.
Oh, what?
Which was?
He uses, I can't believe it's not butter on his corn.
But why did that upset? Just because butter's so good.
Well, yeah, I find, I can't believe it's not butter to be a disgusting thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a farmer.
Yeah.
He pulls the corn from outside and puts the crap on it.
True. He's like, yeah, it's organic corn. And I'm putting this crap on it.
It's like Superman taking a commercial flight.
Yeah. You know? That's funny. Yeah.
Like, really? That's you fly true. Southwest?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's funny. I remember those guys. Yeah. Chris, anyway. And not Ben Higgins. He was another season.
Right? He was the Caitlin season.
Caitlin, right. Okay.
Season after.
Yeah. Ben Higgins. Okay. Wait. So there was a pin that we put in something. Oh, Ashley I at Din Tai Fung 2 hours ago. Holy shit.
So she cried and then.
Oh, big surprise.
Now she's with Mary. Jared.
So, but your advice to her was like, don't go on because you tried with Jared.
She will never be with Jared. And I stand by what I said. And it was great advice at the time. And it worked because the only reason Jared woke up is when she actually thought it was over and she moved on and dated someone else. And I was living with Jared at the time because I was like, hey, you can move in. He was thinking about moving to LA and just like stay at my... I paid it forward, so to speak. Uh-huh. And I was like, I have an open bedroom. And,
God.
Ashley started dating someone else. And
another bachelor?
She went on Winter Games and started dating the Canadian
guy. Oh, yeah.
And Jared was just a mess. And I was like, what is wrong with you, dude?
Oh, yeah. He was like a handsome
firefighter, dude. Yeah. Cro-Magnon. And I remember just being, I just was talking, not trying to fuck with Jared. I wasn't trying to like get on his nerves. I was just like, oh, so Ashley and I forget his name. Kevin.
He was very Canadian. Yeah. I like Kevin.
And Jared just was like, I don't want to talk. And I was like, well, Jesus. Like, why don't you?
Maybe? It's so many chances.
Yeah.
I mean, like but a comical amount of chances.
That woke Jared up, so to speak. And he obviously that owns that now. But so I stand by the advice I gave.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. Michael J. Fox said something, getting back to our hero. That's somebody that I would really be starstruck. I mean, I have been starstruck around, but like, he said something in his book, and he's got a new one coming out November 17th, No Time Like the Future, it's called, to plug his book. But his former book that he wrote, he said something about how he can tell who based on how they're approaching him, he can tell what they know him from. And this is not true anymore because there's no real like big screen stars. But he said when he was doing Family Ties versus the movies, if somebody knew him from Back to the Future, they were, you know, a lot. They approached him kind of more gingerly and they treated him like he was larger than life because that's how they would see him. And people who would approach him about Family Ties were like, hey, man, really casual, you know. And it's because on TV, you're in somebody's living room. You're like,
yeah.
I mean, I've had people come up to me like, it takes me a few sentences before I realize that I don't know them personally. I'm sure you've had that, where it's like, hey, Nick, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, really casual.
And I'll have this like glazed look.
I'm
like, because
Did we have coffee last week?
Well, yeah, because I'm already bad. So it's like it's entirely possible we had coffee last week and I'm just a dick.
I'm bad with it too. I default to, which is the normal thing, I think, I must know you from somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where sometimes I have to say, I'm so sorry, how do I know you? Oh, no, we don't.
Well, because they walk up to you while you're at dinner.
Yeah, casual. Yeah.
And you're just like, there's no way someone who doesn't know me would come up to me.
Right. That's a rude, weird thing. Yeah. Yeah. It must be a cousin. What you must be gracious. You seem like a person who's like gracious.
I definitely want to and try to be.
Yeah.
But I can get, I don't, like I'll pull the Tom Hanks of like, oh, yeah. Hey, and then I'll remember to be on. It doesn't come natural.
You kind of have to be. Yeah. And of course, there are degrees. Like, I obviously, if it's like without any sort of exception, if it's a kid who's like, I like your stuff, it's like you give them time. You know, that's the nicest thing. But there are degrees of it, I think. You know, there's some people who I find like guys have to sometimes justify coming up with. You know, I don't care who you are, but so-and-so pointing you out. Or like,
if that's...
I bet you get that a lot, which is like, my girlfriend made me watch the show.
I don't care.
I've never...
How do I know you?
Do you remember that expression?
You're on that show. Like, you're on that thing. I mean, I never watched it. I never watched it. I don't know, man. I don't... Because I can't...
justifying it.
But there's a reality show where the rose thing, you know? I would never watch it.
But then it's like, why are we talking? I don't need to be... We don't... I don't know if you don't... Why are we talking?
And then for me, it was like because I was the villain at times. So like people try to relate to you. So their way of relating to you is like, I liked you when no one else did.
Oh, what a backhanded.
I'm like, God. And they're trying to connect with me. And like, I'm the person who should be your best friend. And I'm like, now I hate you.
That's really funny. Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Or like, no one liked that movie you did. But like, I did.
Or with Ben, they'll go up to him and go like, I never thought you were boring.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh no. That's funny. That's really funny.
So,
but you got it. It's part of the, it's often like, right. A nice part.
Yeah. You learn to deal with it and accept it. It is what it is.
Yeah. And like now it's all, I mean now because people can be so sneaky so easily, it's like, I always appreciate when somebody's like, hey, I acknowledge that you're this person. Can I take a pic or whatever?
Yeah. When people are just like, just this put out what they want, I feel safe around them.
Yes. Yeah.
It's when they're like coming up with an excuse. And then it's like, all right, we're going to play one more game before we go. It's called Do You Know Me? Real simple.
Okay. By the way, this has been so fun. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Really fun.
I can't wait until we hang out for the holidays in Connecticut together.
It'll be magical. You're going back?
Yeah. It'll be great. We'll meet at the Trumbull Mall. We'll get coffee.
I'm trying to think what is...
We'll get a drink at the castle. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I wonder if those... I know that Sea Grape is open.
I'm just trying to have dim sum with Justin.
There's a great place called...
we'll go to Pepe's.
Jinko's. Pepe's is great. Pepe's Pizza.
I'm trying to get to the game.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
But Pepe's in New Haven.
I don't care. You're the one who's yelling.
I know. I'm sorry.
Pepe's in New Haven and Bridgeport. There's one in Fairfield now.
I know.
Yeah.
It's called Do You Know Me?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you some questions. Don't answer right away. Chris and I will guess the story.
Okay.
If you have an anecdotal answer to your story, you're welcome to share. Be mindful of that Chrissy wants us to leave.
Okay.
But also tell the story.
Yeah.
Do You Know Me with Justin Long?
Okay.
Yes.
Has Justin ever kissed someone? Oh, well, you started off hot.
I can answer that.
Have Justin someone of the same sex? I'm going to say yes. He's an actor at some point.
I'm going to say yes.
He's had to do a scene with a guy, and whether comedic or otherwise, he kissed a guy.
Oh, is this so you guess first?
Yeah,
and we guess what we think, and then you tell us.
And then you say yes or no.
So
and
I agree. Can explain, I think he's done it too.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And also, like, guys, like, sometimes I have guys, friends who are very demonstrative and like lip kissers.
I have a couple of those too. Yeah. And then I recently watched The Vow only to find, have you watched The Vow on HBO Max?
No, but that keeps coming up. And I keep, my first thought is like the Rachel McAdams movie. And I did watch that in the theater. But no, I haven't seen the one about next scene.
The basically the ringleader, the narcissist guy, his thing was to kiss everyone on the lips. And I'm now questioning all the people.
Oh my God.
And ironically, my friend who does that, I was like, he could lead a cult.
Oh, that's funny. Because it's a way of, it's very charming, obviously, moving. It's a way of like making you feel connected.
It's like I can get anyone to do this with me.
Oh, it's a power move. Yeah. Oh, wow. No, I also in movies have kissed guys. Yeah, I never had any real.
I used to kiss my dad all the time.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah,
and then thought nothing of it.
Yeah, yeah. I but no, I've never had like a full blown like makeout sesh.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Does Justin collect anything?
Oh, anything.
So
he looks like a guy. I'm okay. I had a couple like garbage.
So currently,
kids.
This is not as a kid. Do you currently collect anything? I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say.
You're staring at
me. Yes.
Trying to read me. I probably look like a guy who collects things.
Yeah, you do.
He's not.
I don't. I don't collect anything. Memories.
That you're projecting characters he's played.
Yeah, and my physical. I look like a guy who'd be at a comic book convention.
Like he because you're not in LA all the time. Galaxy Quest. You know, you're home and like some people like live home or they're homie. I don't know. Never.
Well, no.
Movies, DVDs, like those kind of things. I could see you because you're kind of like a screenwriter, director, and stuff. Like, so I feel like maybe like scripts or something like that you might collect. Or movies.
I have a collection of DVDs, but I don't consciously like.
Seek it out.
But you still have them because you haven't parted with
like
them.
Movie nerd stuff.
Right. I haven't gotten rid of them. When I was a kid, I collected football cards and coins, everything. Yeah.
Comic garbage books.
I love Garbage Pail Kids.
I went through a weird phase of collecting Hershey bar wrappers.
Oh, that is weird.
That is super weird. You should talk to your therapist about that.
I thought there was some value in it.
Value how?
Were you obsessed with like Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory or something?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
I think so. I like one day I was like, I'm going to do this. And I just committed to it.
Huh.
And so I would go up to all the teachers and say, hey, I collect Hershey bar wrappers. Can you just ask the students to save the wrappers? And I'll just.
How many did you have?
For a while, hundreds. Oh, then I just like, I don't know why. No. My mom was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
That's weird.
I remember my football card collection being stolen by a kid. I don't want to say his name because I think he came from like kind of a.
John Mayer.
No. No, but John. Well, I was just talking about him last night because we were talking about. Yeah, a friend of mine had gone to Dave Chappelle's comedy thing, the tent that he set up in Ohio.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this that he did this summer? Yeah. Really cool. And John was there. Yeah. So John and I went. John went to high school.
Yeah.
Not with me. We went to the same high school. But we were just talking about him last night. How he is like a huge fan of comedy.
Villanova Junction, man.
What's that?
That was the high school band that went around Fairfield. Oh, Villanova Junction.
That's right.
God, it's like you're not even from the same place.
Oh my God. Well, I remember John as being like a very soft spoken, like kind of always had his guitar, kind of like he was like the little troubadour guy. And
Tim Pacini. Joe Blesney.
What? John remember
Mayer,
the dent?
Villanova Junction, man.
Villanova. Do you remember the dent?
Or the Felt Forum.
Yes. Oh, my God. They're like maybe one listener will be like, oh, yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Continuing on. Sorry.
Yeah. Worldwide.
We have to go.
I know. I'm saying that's how obscure these references are. Not that your show is not.
I'm just. Does Justin take the shampoo and conditioner bottles from hotels? I'm going to change it to has Justin ever. Taking the shampoo and hair conditioner from hotels.
Everyone does it once.
I don't think I ever have.
You've never taken hotel shampoo ever.
I don't think so.
Really?
It's really bad quality.
Like never ever.
No,
I'm shocked by this. I'm gonna say yes because I think everyone's done.
Does Justin vividly remember taking it maybe on more than one occasion? And not like maybe has he ever? Because
absolutely. I have so many of them. I have so many to this day.
Why?
I'll tell you why. I'm cheap. If it's a nice hotel and they've put me up there for a thing, I like to grab as many of the freebies as I can. My mom came to visit me for some press junket, and they put you up at like really fancy hotels. Mm-hmm. And she was so we had seen the movie that night, and she was like excited, red carpet and all that. Got excited, but not nearly as much. As excited as when she came to the hotel room and was like, wait, you can just take these jelly beans? These are yours to keep? And I was like, oh, that's where it's from. You know, a lot of, when I was growing up, a lot of coupons. And so, yeah, I take them out, Malin. And like stuff that I wouldn't buy. I wouldn't buy fancy like Malin and, what's it, Malin and Getz? You know, that company, that brand? of
whatever. So fancy, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, maybe it's not fancy, or like, I don't know. Probably is. But I have so many of those.
Would Justin rather time travel to the past or the future?
Oh, that's a good question. We recently had one. It was because we do, would you rathers. I love would you rathers, but it was would you rather be able to go anywhere in one location, anywhere in the past or anywhere in any time in the future in one location? Time travel. So I think it would be, now I can travel anywhere. Yeah. Fuck, this is a tough one. I think I'd like to see things in the past.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I'd like to, part of it is I think Back to the Future was such a formative,
same.
Yeah. Like, but also think about it, because it would be, it might be frightening too to see, because I'd be
I'm
tempted
more afraid
to see
of
family.
Future. Like, but I don't want to know.
Yeah.
If you know, if the question is, yeah, like, would you want to know when and if the time you died?
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. And so like the future, I don't want to get ahead of worrying about things that I can't control. And
same.
In the past, the only thing I'd be worried about is like fucking up the space time continuum.
But let's say you can't do that.
Then the past.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun to see. And I've always liked history for me. So just to like live history would be kind of fascinating.
That's true. From a safe distance.
From like a safe distance. Like,
yeah, like
there's
safari.
A guarantee you can't die or become imprisoned and
you
know, say something off putting.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I show up with my jorts on and I get beat up by.
Oh, you definitely would.
Yeah.
But probably at any point in history, they would
even today.
Yeah, even today, right?
But I went to Savannah recently with jorts, and
Savannah, Georgia.
Wait, was it jort?
Jean shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, jean shorts.
Like, you know how Kevin Smith wears.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And
now.
I didn't think much of that. And
they weren't open to jorts in Savannah. I'm surprised.
It's very khaki. That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, like kind of a hick thing to do jorts, but. No, it's boat shoes and khakis.
Oh, okay. That makes more. I love Savannah. Why did you go?
A friend. I have a friend there.
During the pandemic?
Yeah.
Was it scary to travel?
Was safe.
You were safe. Yeah, yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah. So you haven't been on a plane in the pandemic?
I just did my first. Yeah. I went to, in fact, Atlanta to do a job, and then I came out here on the plane. It was weird.
It was weird, but like everyone.
I know, everyone's masked up.
Apparently airplane errors.
That's what they say.
Quite safe.
Yeah.
It's getting onto the plane.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Final question.
Okay.
Does Justin sleep with their sheets tucked in? No.
Oh.
No.
He doesn't.
No. Sorry.
Apparently
has a strong
opinion about that.
If anyone does, they're savages.
Well, now you mentioned George Costanza early on.
Yeah, that's the first thing
Swish
I thought of.
Swish and swirl. Lupe? Could you do a little? I like to swish and swirl. No, for sure. I gotta kick him out.
Yeah, I don't like to be restricted.
Like, there's a move. My brother and I have been doing yoga, and that there's a thing in yoga at the end where it's like a corpse pose. Do you do yoga?
I've done yoga. I want to do more of it as I get older. Less nimble.
Yeah, me too. I know. I've been you're 40 now.
Yeah.
So do you have that experience when you sit down and you groan?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been happening to me. I'm like,
or I want
to
stand up. I also do this thing.
When
I sit, I step on my foot like this for some reason. And then like 20 minutes will go by and I'm walking with a limp. I don't know why I do that.
You step on your foot?
I'll be sitting and I'll just do this.
Oh, right? Weird.
Without shoes on. So like, you know, 20 minutes go by. That's 3 pounds just resting on your foot.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sideways.
Yeah. It's not good to cross your legs like this. I'm doing it like a.
I cross my legs a lot.
You're not supposed to. Yeah, I know. There's some certain things that I'm like, I gotta stop doing this, and walking too much. It's sad when you start falling apart. why did I say that? Why did I start talking about that? You said something about Costanza, and with it being tucked in, I feel like I like doing that corpse pose because I imagine that'll be the last thing. You know, what's
gonna, hopefully,
hopefully, I know. But to mentally prepare for that. And whenever I do that pose, I think about that.
This is it.
When I'm dying, what's it going to be like? You know, and I've been talking a lot about
death?
My own. What's that?
Do you think about death?
All the time. Too often.
Because you're afraid of dying?
That's
I'm
part
afraid
of
dying, and therefore I avoid the thought.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, but like when do you smoke weed?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you're stoned, do you ever just suddenly have that the thought of like, oh my, this is gonna end.
I might know.
No, okay, sorry to plant that seed. I hope it doesn't happen. No.
I will tonight.
sorry, but I
thanks so much.
Sorry.
Appreciate you.
No, I just everyone's sorry.
Yeah. I got a whole line of worries, but
no. I only because I don't know. It's just to me, it's
so fascinating.
It's fascinating. But I've been thinking about kids a lot because I've been spending a lot of time with like friends' kids, and I love kids and I love being around. But I've been thinking about like, you know, of course wanting kids. But and I think part of the reason I want kids is I think it's selfish. I think it's to be able to have somebody to say goodbye to. You know.
I was just thinking about my Instagram.
Oh, for that too. No. Oh, it'd be great. Yeah. My brother doesn't like, my older brother has two kids and does not like us putting it on, which is understandable.
I'm more like that.
I fear I wouldn't be. I would be like, using them.
You know, like the dad, hot dad look.
Not even that. Just like, I like to do, just to do bits with kids.
Yeah.
There's nothing funnier than like talking to a kid. That would be my, anyway. One day. Do you think you want to have kids?
Very much so.
Yeah. Are you dating somebody now?
Yeah.
Somebody you like?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's great. What? Why are you laughing?
I've never really talked about it.
Oh, okay. Really, well, that's good. That's so good because you like her.
Yeah.
That means you like her. That's good.
Yeah. Well, Justin, this has been a lot of fun.
So fun.
Well, make sure to follow Justin on Instagram. He's doing great things. Check out his podcast. I cannot wait for the Vince Vaughn one.
Oh, it's fun. It's really fun.
It's coming out. And is your movie that you and your brother did, is it out yet?
No, we have to sell it. We have to try to sell it. Lady of the Manor, it's called. So, no.
We'll look out for that.
Look out for that. Yeah, we got so lucky with it. It's really, we're really proud of it. Melanie Lynskey and Judy Greer are the stars, and they're two of my favorite actresses.
Judy Greer.
They're fucking great. So if she's, you're like, a fan of either of them, you're going to...
She's like one of those people that's in everything.
Yeah. It's such
and she's so funny.
Great. We got very lucky. Ryan Phillippe has a part. He's great. Louis Guzman. It's a good cast. So awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for ended on a shameless plug of something that you can't
see. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castme.com. Cast with a K. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever read those?
No.
Those can be heartbreaking. I stopped reading them.
They can be.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because it's like you.
It's my job to read them.
I'm not remotely interested in.
Oh, smart.
And sorry, guys.
I'm crying myself to sleep.
No,
because I have to read them for work.
Well, the problem is like they'll review your show based off of like one specific thought or something you said. I'm like, why are you reviewing me? I've done 200 episodes, and you're writing something about something I care very much about one specific thing that has no really relevance to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped reading them, but somebody said, I love the show, on and on, all these like good things. He had mentioned Bernie Sanders because I'd done surrogate stuff with Bernie Sanders. I just probably lost a ton of people. proud of it, very proud of it. And I just mentioned that. It wasn't like I wasn't pontificating about Bernie and like his ideology. It was just like happened to mention in a story that I had been doing this thing. And it was a very tangential part of the story. And the guy... was like all these glowing things, but I can't abide by, he mentioned he supports Bernie Sanders, socialism, blah blah blah. One star after how many times did he listen to us? And
or the glowing review,
but
Bernie Sanders, I'm not agreeing with the guy, but I recognize how divisive it is for people. Nick interrupted or blah blah blah.
Oh,
two star. And like it's like they're putting a one star. I almost get more because he's just like hating this one thing triggered him.
Yeah,
but like the 3-star review.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know, I like your show. Yeah. It's really good. I listen to it all the time. But
that girl laughs too loud.
You hear that?
The 4-star.
I was gonna say that. Oh, you read my review.
Yeah,
I know. For something that you can't help. It's like, you love it.
But you know what? I've really learned to appreciate, you know what's important is that they care.
True. And you get to do it.
Yeah.
How cool that you get to like...
200 of them.
200! Congratulations!
If they hate me and still listen, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You write your 3-star reviews.
Your passionate 3 stars. Yeah. Yeah, well, congratulations. That's big.
And thanks for being...
The 200th.
So fun. So fun. Wow, we got...
Bye, guys.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening.